Thank you, everyone. Okay, hands up who's been to a previous workshop, just to get a feel for the room. Okay, hands up who's here for the first ever time. Okay, put your hand up if you've been to a workshop again. And then keep your hand up if you've been to two workshops. Okay, of the people who've got their hands up, does someone want to volunteer why they've come to one of my previous workshops? Is that Daniel? Do you want to grab the mic down here for Daniel?
First of all, you teach different stuff every time. And we see that your business is just quite a few steps ahead of what we try to do. So we just come here, take whatever we can and put it in our own business, and it makes us money every time. So I would be foolish not to be here.
Cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Also, and meeting other guys, it's great to see the same people come again, and we build relationships out of that and joint ventures. So definitely a great place to be.
Cool. Thank you. Dean, would you mind just sharing just for a couple of moments what you learned from the second workshop and any kind of results you might have achieved from that? I know you're looking a bit worse for wear there in the back of the room.
Well, basically I went away and actually I've started my own continuity and my own funnel and everything, following on from what you taught last time. It's now within, you know, just a space of a couple of months doing like five figures online, following, literally swiping what you taught and just making it my own.
So what's been the best month so far of the continuity program you built at the last workshop?
Yours,
what's been the best month in terms of revenue that you've enjoyed as a result of what you learned at the last workshop?
Just last month, the second month, it's growing month by month, so it's like
13,500. Cool. Okay, thank you, Dean, I appreciate that. So the last workshop, we taught about profit maximisation, and one of the strategies that I focused on for just one session was how to build a continuity programme that could really dramatically increase the profits in your business. And we focused on that for just one session. And because I know that so many people who attended that workshop achieved tremendous and dramatic results as a result of that one session, I decided to dedicate 8 sessions to how to set up a continuity program. And during the next 2 days, we're going to cover 8 steps. And each session is going to be a different step. So we're going to start off by really getting an understanding of what continuity is, why it's important for your business, and how you can quickly and easily implement it in your business for dramatic and substantial results. And then as we go through the workshop, we're going to continue by looking at the different constituent components. So we're going to look at how you need to set up your selling system really fast. A lot of people in this room have seen my different continuity offers. We've had more than 10 over the last 2 years. And what a lot of people don't know is that the sales videos that we use in our business probably take me less than 2 hours to create. In fact, when we did our recent point-and-click coaching launch, we built a $100,000 per month business that will gross more than $1.5 million this year on current trends, and the sales video for that continuity program took less than 2 hours. Less than 2 hours, and that's not hype. In fact, me and James, who's at the back of the room, James is my affiliate manager, we actually went for some drinks one day in Jesmond in Newcastle, and James will tell you this story, and we were talking about our current continuity program, and we were having a few beers, and we were having a good laugh, and we sat down and thought, what if we created a new continuity program that catered to a different segment of our audience? And James works at support desk, or used to work at support desk all the time, and now not as much. So I sat down and I said to James, on the basis of the conversations that you have on the support desk, on the basis of those conversations, what kind of continuity program do you think we should create? And me and James hammered it out, we got a notepad out, we got a pen and paper, we brainstormed it, and we came up with a plan. And we executed that plan about 2 weeks later. We sat down, and within 5 days, we had point-and-click coaching created, and we generated more than 1,000 members paying $97 a month. Now, hands up, who thinks that's the kind of stuff they want to learn about this weekend? Okay. Now, I should say that's on top of our current continuity program, the Gold program, which was also generating us $100,000 per month. Just to give you a little bit of an insight into the kind of mindset I have in my business before I go back to the topic area. Last night, we became aware that we were going to have a microphone problem this morning, and we knew there was going to be a massive issue. We knew we weren't going to have a proper mic. We knew they were running late. We knew that we'd made a mistake, basically, and we hold our hands up as a company, we'd made a mistake. But rather than looking at that as this massive problem and getting in a huge panic, what did we do? We just thought, what can we do to fix the problem? How can we overcome that hurdle? And that's a really good lesson, because when we run our continuity program, we have all kinds of problems that you can't imagine. Hands up, who've heard about the recent crackdown from PowerPay in particular in terms of the Visa MasterCard? Yeah, us too. And one of the things you'll learn during this workshop is that we actually got placed on 100% reserve for 4 weeks. Now, just put it into context, when you consider that our reserve topped $210,000 at one point about a fortnight ago, hands up who thinks that's going to be a quite stressful situation. We had nearly $250,000 in reserve with PowerPay. That's a lot of money. Bearing in mind, we're paying our affiliates $30,000 every month as well. So that really tested our reserves in our bank. It was a massive problem, but we overcame it, and we had the mindset that no matter what the problem was, we were going to overcome it, we were going to work really hard to do that. James will tell you the story about when we first launched our first continuity program, and we're trying to get our first merchant account. It took us weeks, weeks and weeks. Hands up who's ever had a problem trying to get a merchant account. Painful experience, especially if you're in the UK. What most people would do is just think, God, you know what, that's just too hard. I can't be bothered with that. It's just too much of an obstacle, and they'll quit. And the kind of problems we've had organising this workshop have been very, very similar. We've had all kinds of problems that you can't even imagine, but we look at them as opportunities to overcome. So we were talking about continuity programs and how it had a massive and dramatic impact on my business. And me and James sat down in a pub one day and we brainstormed this new point-and-click coaching program. And I said to James, James, look, what kind of program should we create for our customers? And he told me, he said, look, the most common question on the help desk is how to set up your website, how to register a domain, how to set up your autoresponder. And we realized that our current continuity program, our current gold program, didn't really cater for those needs. So on the back of that conversation, we brainstormed a new continuity program, and then bang, we implemented it really quick. And from start to finish, we had this whole launch organized in 5 days and then executed as well. Now, it wasn't a perfect launch by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, we didn't even contact our best affiliates to promote it for us, which obviously isn't ideal. There are affiliates in this room who I know would have promoted it if I'd contacted them, but we never did. We literally just created this program, we got it out there in the wide world, we then integrated our marketing and developed some evergreen traffic strategies, and very soon we had 1,000 active members paying us $97 a month. Now, hands up who'd like to learn about those kind of strategies. Okay, excellent. What I want to do now on the screen is just show you some of the results from implementing continuity in our business. So you can see, when I first started lee-mcintyre.com, August 2007, we were kind of generating initially about $7,000-$8,000 in monthly revenues. Pretty quickly, we kind of got to about $20,000 in that kind of ballpark. And then around about March 2009, we introduced our latest continuity program, or what was our latest continuity program, called the Gold Program. Can anyone see a dramatic and sudden increase in our business revenues around about that time? That was September 2009. Can anyone tell me why do you think I introduced another continuity program in November 2009? Anyone just want to shout it out? We don't need the mic, just shout it out. Why would I have done that?
Because we're already getting something going. So use the momentum of it.
I was already getting something going, I could use the momentum. And look at the dramatic and substantial results we had when we introduced continuity in our business in September. It was dramatic. So we introduced another continuity program. Hands up if you think our revenues went up as a result of the second continuity program. Hands up if you think they went down. Hands up if you think we might want to introduce another continuity program in the next few months. Hands up if you think we might want to introduce 3 or 4 in different markets by the end of this year. Absolutely. What I've learned over the last 2 years is that selling information products is by far and away the best way to make money online. But if your focus in terms of making money online is selling ebooks for $27 on ClickBank and that's it, then really you're very limited in terms of the upward potential you can achieve with your business. The big breakthrough for me was when I realized that selling $27 ebooks on ClickBank is a really good way to make a part-time income, maybe make a full-time income, maybe make a few $1,000s a month. But the massive and substantial breakthrough that I experienced was when I really understood that implementing continuity into my business could triple, quadruple, and multiply my income by a factor of 10 comfortably. And when I started understanding concepts like front end of my business and back end of my business, and when we started more aggressively selling back-end items and continuity programs, our business skyrocketed and we never looked back. And that's really what I want to share with you during this workshop. So here's what you can expect. During the 2 days, we're going to have 8 sessions, and each session will be a step. And during this first session, all I want to try and achieve is for you to understand the power of continuity and why you should implement it in your business. And then we're going to go through it sequentially. We're going to look at what you need to do first. What is it you do first? Then we're going to look at what you do second, and so on and so on. I'm going to show you how we create sales videos in 2 hours or less, and that's not hype. Hands up who saw my recent 497 offer, my coaching call offer this week that I sent out to my list. Hands up who saw that. Does anyone want to shout out how long they thought it took me to make that sales video?
14 minutes.
The video was 14 minutes. It took 25 minutes to make the PowerPoint, no joke. It was one take, made the video, click save, upload, write the email, and then my team sorted the rest out. I'm going to show you how you can make sales videos like that. The point-and-click launch, which has put 1,000 people into the continuity program, we've got a 15-part prospect autoresponder sequence. How long do you think it took me to write that? Any ideas? 2 months?
One and a half.
Couple of years?
No, an
hour and a half. Probably about 2.5 hours to write that sequence. I'm not joking. How many people here think we've been pretty prolific with our product development? Put your hand up. Put your hand up if you think we have a lot of products. Yeah, and you can see them all at the desk. And if you speak to James, I'm sure you can buy some as well. We make a lot of products and we work fast. And I really want to get that across to you during this workshop. So this session, I want to just you to understand the importance of continuity and why you really need it. And then I'm going to show you how you can implement it fast. And that's the thing. If you've got this kind of crazy mindset where you think to yourself, do you know what? I really want to succeed online and I'm going to spend a year writing my ebook and then I'm going to spend 6 months writing my sales page, then leave. Because you're wasting your time and you're wasting my time. But if you've got the mindset where you're prepared to do things really, really fast and achieve tremendous results, then stay, listen, and take action. Hands up if you agree with that. Everything we do in our business is so quick. Me and James had a great time. We ordered a bacon double cheeseburger. We had 2 pints of lager, maybe 3, and then some. And we mapped out this program and we implemented it like that. And that's really what I want you guys to be able to do. Let me just tell you about my timeline so you can understand where I've come from. Because I'm aware that most people in the room know who I am, but not everybody. About July 2002, I finished university in Newcastle, in this city. I did a law degree. And what do you think my family wanted me to do with my life? Any ideas? Don't want me to be a lawyer. I think they were disappointed when I went and worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car instead. Very much. My first day, I washed cars. It was fantastic. Anyone guess what I did on my second day? I washed cars. I had a law degree and I washed cars. I had to ring up my granddad and say, Granddad, I know you're really proud that I did a law degree, but today I washed cars. Has anyone ever had that kind of experience? Not good. About August 2002, I decided that washing cars wasn't the career move I wanted. So I started to become an accountant. And I remember lying in bed at night with a careers book thinking, what am I going to do in my life? And I'm not joking. I flicked through this book and I was looking at all these different career options. I was like, oh, doctor, nah, lawyer, definitely not. Consultant, blah, blah, blah. And I flicked on accountant. I thought, that's interesting. So I read about it. I thought, you know what? I'm going to be an accountant. Not joking. Opened up my laptop, applied for a job via an agency. They rang me back the next morning, arranged an interview same day. I drove from Newcastle to Crewe same day, had an interview, started the next day. How many people think that was a considered and thoughtful career choice? How many people think that I didn't end up being an accountant? So I drove down, I moved to Chester and commuted to Crewe. It was a great lifestyle. I got the train every morning from Chester to Crewe. It was fantastic. The train broke down every day. I was late every day. My boss said, unless I got to work on time, I would be fired. And I said, I can't because the train just doesn't come on time. He said, I don't care. He swore at me. So I bought a car. It was a Fiesta, a V-Reg Fiesta. Who's seen a picture of my V-Reg Fiesta in one of my videos? So I bought a Fiesta, about £800, and I drove to work. It lasted 3 months. During that 3-month spell, I nearly got fired about 8 times. I nearly quit twice. I went into the office and said, I'm leaving unless you give me a pay rise, and they said goodbye, and that was that. I left there December 2002, and in fact, I started there December 2002, and then June 2003, I moved to another company as a trainee accountant again because I had it figured out, guys. It was totally figured out. It was in the bag. Accountancy was for me, yeah, but actually, it was just that place was crap. And I needed to go somewhere else. So I did. I went to work for a company called Tetra Pak in Manchester who make the cartons as a trainee accountant. Can anyone guess how long did I stay there for? 3 months? About 3 months, 4 months. They tried to fire me a few times. I tried to quit a few times and we eventually went our separate ways. And then went and worked for another accountancy company because it's okay. Because I was born to be an accountant. But actually, that place was no good. I moved to the new accountancy company. Can anyone guess how long it stayed there for? 2 months, about 2, 3, 4 months, something like that. Every time I moved job, I felt massively self-satisfied. I thought, yeah, I've made it. I remember speaking to my girlfriend at the time, saying, I'm so lucky, I found a career that I love, I feel passionate about. And after about a week, I was bored, and I was fed up, and I changed jobs again. Now, hands up who's had that kind of experience in their life. When I speak to a lot of the people I work with online who are successful marketers, they tell me similar stories. They tell me that they were an entrepreneur, and they went from one job to another job, to another job, to another job, and they could never make any of it work. Maybe they were good at some of them, or maybe they got fired, but really, they just didn't like working for other people. Hands up who just feels like they just don't like working for other people. I'm glad none of my staff at the back put their hand up. That would be a problem. I just didn't want to work for other people. I decided that wasn't for me, and I was changing jobs all the time. Eventually, I decided to train to be a teacher. I quit my job as an accountant. I had a $140,000 mortgage. I quit my job as a trainee accountant to go and apply for a PGC training course with no guarantee of getting on that course. I got on the course. They paid me a £6,000 bursary, not very much. I managed to pay my mortgage, eat tins of beans, and that was that. And I trained to be a teacher, and I loved it. But I didn't like the politics involved. I didn't like all the paperwork involved. And I didn't like a lot of it. And that's where I met Mark, our MC. We were good friends on our course. And I decided it wasn't for me. And I had a massive row with my boss. She came in one day and we went at it. And then I decided, look, this isn't for me. I want to start something different. On the back of that row, I felt the lowest I've ever felt in my professional career. I was at rock bottom. Can't really emphasize enough. I was fed up. I was frustrated. I was working so hard. I felt I was the best teacher in the department, but she wanted me to do all this extra paperwork, and I didn't want to. I didn't see the point. Hands up who's ever felt like that. We had a massive argument, and as a result of that, I started my eBay business. And my eBay business was selling teaching resources on the internet. And I was selling them for like £1, £2 at a time, making some really good pocket money. I did that for about a year. Figured out some stuff in our marketplace. And by the way, in our marketplace selling teaching resources, nobody had ever heard of digital delivery. Hands up here who knows what digital delivery means when you deliver a product digitally online. In that marketplace, nobody had. When we started delivering products digitally, people thought we were like wizards. They're like, oh, how can we compete with these guys? They've got all this technology at their fingertips. When we started using autoresponders, people were like, wow, it's like magic. And we did that for a while, and we started lee-mcintyre.com in July 2007. And you can see the results. You can see the revenue. But the real key breakthrough for us was setting up a continuity program. Let me just tell you a little bit about some of the thoughts that went through my head before I set up a continuity program. It's very important. I kind of emphasize this to you. I thought in my head that continuity programs were bad. I thought in my head that aggressive selling was bad. I had the mindset that really selling really hard was something that I didn't want to do. And then when I had those kind of limiting beliefs, I used to make about $15,000 to $20,000 a month. When I actually sat down and thought about how I could use a continuity program to deliver tremendous value, and I got my mind around the concept of selling, and how I started to feel that if I was selling something of value and giving people stuff of value, then there was absolutely nothing wrong with selling. And when I started understanding it was okay to do that aggressively and ethically, then my revenue skyrocketed. So there's going to be some things I'm going to talk to you about today in terms of continuity programs that you might immediately recoil back against. You might have the mindset where you might think, well, that's okay, but I don't really want to run a continuity program. And you might feel like that because maybe some other people in marketplaces have run continuity programs unethically. Hands up who kind of buys that some people do that. Hands up who see people who hide the small print, don't disclose the charges, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we've all seen that. But that doesn't mean that having a continuity program needs to be like that. I can tell you now that Terry Dean is somebody who I admire, and I've paid him for coaching in the past. And he runs a continuity program, and I actually spoke to him about this issue. And I said, would running a continuity program be unethical? And he said, no. Only if you do it unethically and you deliver it unethically. And I agree. So as long as you're giving tremendous value and the customer knows about what's happening, then continuity programs should be the cornerstone of your business. And that's something I've really learned over the last 2 years. So if you're sat there today and you're thinking, I'm not really sure, I'm kind of uneasy about it, then don't worry. Because my job during the next 2 days is to educate you that, number one, continuity programs will give you the breakthrough your business needs today. And then number two, there's absolutely nothing wrong with selling your products and services aggressively. As long as the customer knows exactly what they're getting and they believe they're getting more value than the money they're giving you. Do you kind of buy that? Look, if I've got a DVD course at the back of the room called the Internet Automation Plan, and it's $997 on sale. If I said to you today, I really wholeheartedly believe in the value of that course. Now put into context, when I produced that course, I stayed up night after night after night, giving my best information, giving everything I could. And I've given that course to people, and they've made tremendous amounts of money. Tremendous amounts of money. Should I feel bad selling that to somebody for $997, knowing that if they take action, they could make more money as a result? Can everybody buy that? If you give people value, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking more money from them in return. Can people buy that? Put their hand up if they kind of agree with that. It's an even exchange. It's giving value. And that's really what I want people to think about. When you run your continuity program, as long as you're completely ethical and honest and upfront with your billing, then there's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. And during these two sessions, I'm going to show you exactly what I mean by that. Now, one of the things I really want to address, because a lot of people were talking to me about this last night, is the recent kind of changes that PowerPay have introduced to continuity programs and some of the Visa MasterCard regulations as well. A lot of people were mentioning this on the board. How many people are aware of this? Okay, so let me give you a bit of an oversight before we go into what we're going to talk about today. A bit of an oversight. A couple of weeks ago, PowerPay, who is one of the acquiring banks in the US, so they process, they're a merchant bank, they process credit cards, they issued guidance, PowerPay guidance, that said, look, if you're running certain kinds of business practices, then that's to be discouraged, and you're not going to be allowed to do it anymore. Has anyone seen the document that PowerPay issued? If you raise your hand. Okay. And they clamped down on a lot of internet marketers. A lot of people had their accounts closed. Some people had their accounts frozen. We were placed on 100% reserve, and so we made some changes. And a lot of people panicked in the marketplace and said that these changes were going to dramatically and substantially change the way the industry operates. Did anyone see any of the posts by some of the gurus out there and some other people where they were like really scaremongering? Okay. I've spoken to a lot of people on the inside of PowerPay. I've spoken to a lot of people who I respect greatly. And it's not a game changer at all. And I've got to be careful what I talk about because I don't want to get people into trouble. I don't want to accuse people of being sensationalists, but it's not a game changer. In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, PowerPay was sat on by Visa MasterCard, and they were hit hard in the sense that they had a lot of accounts where the chargebacks were too high and they were being too unethical with the marketing. And Visa MasterCard went to PowerPay and said, look, we don't like the chargeback percentage you've got. We don't like the percentage of complaints to the Better Business Bureau. And as a result, we are going to close you down. You're going to lose your acquiring status unless you clean up your act. And PowerPay reacted immediately by closing down some massive internet marketers and freezing some accounts. Can anyone put the hand up if they've been given guidance and clarification from PayPal regarding continuity billing? Has anyone received an email? No, maybe one. From ClickBank regarding continuity billing? ClickBank are an acquiring bank for Visa, MasterCard. Has anyone received any clarification? Put your hand up. Has anyone received clarification from any other merchant banks you might have? No. So really what happened was they were PowerPay placed under tremendous pressure from Visa, MasterCard, and they issued this guidance. And a lot of people took it as official regulation from Visa, MasterCard. And what Visa, MasterCard were basically saying to PowerPay is, look, you can only process credit cards if you're being completely upfront and clear and transparent. Is that going to make sense? But because PowerPay had a lot of accounts that weren't doing that, they were placed under tremendous pressure. We have merchant accounts with different providers, and we never received any kind of clarification. So my advice to you today, and I'm not a lawyer, I did a law degree, my advice to you today is this. You can still run continuity programs. You can still run trial offers. Nothing has changed except the thing you should have been doing from day one, which is making sure that your offer was open, honest, ethical, and transparent. And as long as it is honest, open, ethical, and transparent, then you will not have a problem, or you shouldn't have a problem, if you're using the right merchant bank. But what basically happened with PowerPay is, look, a lot of people were using the free DVD offer as an example, and they weren't using it honestly. So then PowerPay came down, and they were in a panic, and they said, look, and this is not official advice, this is my opinion, and they said, look, everyone using a free DVD offer, you've got to stop now. But you can still use a free DVD offer, and there are millions of people, not millions, there are thousands of people out there who are still doing that. But you've got to be honest. You've got to be ethical. Has anyone seen those vlogs, those fake blogs where they sell supplements? Yeah? Does anyone think the charges on there are very clear? No. You take a free DVD or a free supplement, and then they bill you for life, and they don't even tell you about it, apart from in the small print. And also in the small print, they say things like, the testimonials on this page are false. The stories on this page are false. This page is false. Oh, by the way, P.S., you're going to be charged $49.97 for the rest of your life, thanks. And you can't cancel. A lot of people were being far too aggressive with the continuity programs. They had auto-page bumps. So when you were buying a continuity program, they had a tick box where you could tick that and you'd go into another continuity program. How many people have seen those before? Yeah? Now, why do you think people did that? Because it led to an increase in revenue. But it also led to an increase in chargebacks and complaints. And a lot of people were doing that with PowerPay as their bank, and that caused problems. What a lot of people were also doing, and I've seen other marketers teach this, is you were buying a product, and there was an order page tick box for another continuity program. How many people have seen that yet? But they were making sure that when you ticked that box, the continuity program that you subscribed to was actually with a different company a lot of the time. with a different descriptor on your credit card. So let's talk about Jeff. Jeff comes to my site, he ticks a box, so he comes and gets a free DVD, and he goes into the $97 continuity. And then there's a tick box where if he ticks that box, he goes into a $47 continuity. We've all seen offers like that. Or maybe a $4.97, a really low amount. But they make that tick box with a different company, a different descriptor. So now Jeff comes and says, cancel my continuity. So the support desk cancels the $97 continuity, and what happens to the tick box continuity? It keeps going, and it's billed for a different company. A lot of people did that. A lot of people also had upsells with continuity in there, which was poorly disclosed. In fact, there's a lot of marketers, particularly in the supplement industry, where they would do a free supplement offer, they'd bury the continuity in the terms, they'd have an order page tick box for another continuity of another company, so now you have to file two support requests to get cancelled, and then they have a series of free upsells, and if you tick those boxes, you go into another free series of continuity of another three companies, and now to cancel, you need to submit five support tickets, and you don't know what the hell is going on. Has anyone seen offers like that? Put your hand up. Crazy. So I could stand here today and I could give you all these continuity strategies that would allow you to be really, really unethical and really, really aggressive, because we've all seen it, and make a lot more money. But what I prefer to do is show you how you can create value that your subscribers want in exchange for monthly revenue that they're fully aware of. And I can show you how to optimize that process so that you make as much money as we do, but while doing it so ethically that you can sleep at night. And so ethically that your customers will like you. Hands up who wants to learn about that kind of stuff. Now keep in mind, I need to tell you about this. There are going to be people who complain when you run a continuity program. And we're actually going to devote step 7 to building strategies to deal with those complaints. Because no matter how upfront you are, and no matter how honest you are, some people are going to complain. Do you kind of buy that? Absolutely. And Dean's nodding his head because I know Dean's had that kind of problem. No matter how upfront you are, you're going to get those complaints. And in one of these sessions, we're actually going to talk about strategies to deal with that. And in fact, the first strategy is just to adjust your mindset and to develop a thick skin. But it's something you're going to have to be prepared for. How many people here would feel comfortable developing a continuity offer that made them $100,000 per month and changed their life forever, that was so honest and ethical that you showed it to your merchant provider and they agreed and they said, yes, the disclosure is fantastic. How many people would feel comfortable doing that? Put your hand up. Keep your hand up if you'd still feel comfortable if you knew that you were going to get a percentage of complaints from people who said they didn't know they were going to be charged and they called you a scammer, even though you look at it and you say, man alive, how can they not know? Are they blind? Put your hand up if you'd still feel comfortable. Because listen, this is a conversation you're going to have with yourself. Because if you run a continuity program, I'm telling you right now, if you want to make $100,000 per month with a continuity program, even if you put it in big, bold letters that you're going to be charged in 14 days, even if you come round to their house and tattoo it on their head, even if you send them a parcel in the post with a gold ceramic date to put on the fridge for their bill date, even if they name their newborn child after the date 14 days later, even then, some people are going to say, scam. You scammed me, Jeff. Again. And you'll go back to them and say, look, you signed up on this website. You ticked this box. You signed the papers. You faxed it across to us. We had a court appearance where you swore in front of a judge. You knew you were going to be charged in 14 days. You know, your mum came down, your dad came down, we had a party, we discussed it as a group. And they'd say, nah, you scammed me. Has anyone had that kind of experience who sells products? Daniel, Dean, a few other people, Robert. Yeah. And then you'll be like, God, you know what? When me and James did the point and click program, we were loving it. We were a bit smug with ourselves, actually, a bit self-satisfied. We were like having a beer, we're like, come on. We are on the ball. High five. And we made the program, we made all this great content, we're dead happy with it. All these testimonials came in, hundreds of them. Lee, I love it. Lee is the best thing ever. Lee, we never want to cancel. By the way, we're going to focus heavily on point and click coaching this weekend because people love it. People love it. People know they're being billed and they love it. And we were getting all these testimonials. Then one day, we read something came up in Google Alerts from some person called as a scam. Of all those hundreds of positive testimonials, which post do you think we focused on? Which post do you think really bothered me when I went to bed at night? This person called us a scam. They called Infusionsoft a scam. They said, They said they knew we were a scam because we were using known scam company Infusionsoft. Now when people search my name, that comes up because I'm using Infusionsoft. And it gets worse. I was using a tracking link, a known scam tactic. Not as true. And I'd hidden my domain name. I'd used Domain Guard, another known scam tactic. And finally, this was the real, the icing on the cake, the nail in the coffin. On my sales page, I'd used big red letters, a known scam tactic. James had a support ticket the same day from the same customer saying, I can't figure out how to submit a support ticket and cancel. And that was in the support ticket. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're going to do $100,000 per month, even if you make them name their firstborn child after the date of their build date, how many people accept you're going to get some people complain? Absolutely. So you have to have a conversation with yourself today where you say, look, am I prepared? Do I feel comfortable making $100,000 per month? Do I feel comfortable making loads of people happy? Do I feel comfortable giving all this value? Do I feel comfortable with all of that? Even if one person accuses you of being a scam, when you know that you're not, are you comfortable with that? Some people aren't. That's why I mention it. And when we look at step 7 in the continuity program, we're going to look at developing your mindset, and then we're going to look at strategies. We have some really effective strategies in step 7 that will help you. It'll give you peace of mind, it'll help you. One of them is having Google Alerts set up so you can manage your reputation fast. Another one is not fighting refund requests in any way. When we started, I've got to be honest, with the Gold program, we started saying, no, you're outside the refund period, you signed up for a trial, you know, we offered you 30 days money back guarantee, it's 90 days later, you can't have it. Can anyone guess what might happen from those kind of interactions? We get chargebacks, which real problem. We get reputation management issues. And it takes negative energy from me and my team. So what we do now is just have a completely no-quibble refund where I don't even want to know about it, we just refund it. And our refunds went up. We developed automated strategies to manage the refunds where we offer people product credit. So if someone tries to refund $97, we say, well, hang on. First of all, would you like 5 times that value in product? So would you like a $500 product instead? But other than that, if people want a refund, they get a refund. Made their life a lot easier, and it made it a lot easier to continue to sell. Just going off on a tangent, I've got to give you a little personal story for myself, just because it's kind of related. Me and James, we were working together on the Gold program. We're doing some good stuff together. And I stopped promoting it. The business hit about $100,000 a month. And I stopped recruiting affiliates. I stopped driving traffic organically. I stopped talking about it in my videos. Do you know the reason? The reason was the volume of complaints wasn't massively high, but I was focusing on them. And I was focusing on all the negativity. And I think subconsciously, deep down, I was thinking to myself, I don't want to promote this because promoting this leads to all of this pain. Does that make sense? Do you kind of buy that? Deep down? So you really need to have strategies to kind of deal with that. Okay, what I want to do now is, with Mark up on the flip chart, Mark, what I want to do now with Mark up on the flip chart is, I want to just give you an overview of our funnel so you have an understanding of how a continuity funnel will work. And that's really going to inform my thinking for the next 7 steps. So by the end of this session, I really want you to understand why continuity is important, why it can dramatically increase your business. I want you to understand that the Visa, MasterCard recent changes shouldn't affect you as long as you're being ethical and honest. You should be doing anyway. And I want you to really understand their funnel. So hands up, does someone want to shout out what is the kind of first point of our sales funnel? What do we have? We have an opt-in page. Opt-in page. Now, I'm going to talk about a point-and-click funnel. Does someone want to just shout out, why do we have an opt-in page, first of all? Why is that the most important part of our funnel? Build our list. Not everyone's going to buy in the first contact. Do you know we have an autoresponder sequence in place? It doubles their conversion. We're going to spend an entire step on writing your prospect autoresponder sequence. It doubles the conversion. Doubles it. Now, what kind of content do we give away for a point-and-click funnel? Does anybody know? Has anyone seen it? Put your hand up if you've seen a point-and-click funnel. More people than that, surely. Put your hand up. Must be more people than that. What kind of content do we give away on that squeeze page? High value, cheap content. Should I put that in brackets, maybe? High value, cheap. We also give away an excerpt of what actually is in the continuity program. So the point-and-click offer is people get the workshop, my last workshop, for free if they pay shipping and handling, although we've just changed it, and now they get it for $2.95. Okay? So people get a $2.95 trial into point and click coaching, and what basically happens is they get the recordings from my last workshop for $2.95, and they get a 14-day trial into point and click coaching. So should we just write down? Sorry, Mark. So step one is the opt-in page. Step two is a video sales letter selling the Inside Out Upside Down workshop for $2.95. Now let me ask you this question. And then $2.95 for point and click. You just say pack. So we'll call point and click pack. The content I give away in the opt-in page is an excerpt from this workshop. Can anyone tell me why that might be a smart idea?
Like gets people used to you and feeling comfortable with what you're doing and used to hearing you.
Gets people used to me, gets people liking me, yes. Gets people seeing what they're going to get. What kind of section of that workshop gets people curious? What kind of section of that workshop do you think we give away a good bit? And do you think it was just something at random or one of the best bits?
One of the best bits.
And do you think we just have on a page that video, or do you think we have other stuff? Let me tell you what we do. People opt in, and when they get the content, there's a video of me in front of a white screen saying, "Hi everyone, my name's Lee McIntyre from GetMoreMomentum.com. Listen, I want to welcome you. In 2 moments' time, I'm going to show you a really cool video. It's called The 7 Rules of Momentum. It's one of my most famous, one of my most infamous presentations at one of my last workshops. It's extremely valuable. It's my gift to you. Enjoy." Why do you think I have that kind of intro? It's a bit more detailed than that, but why do you think I do that?
You've got people hooked on what it is that's coming. You're giving them something.
We get people hooked. We explain what's happening. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. And we also pre-frame people for the offer we're going to give them. We also say, listen, watch the content. And at the end of that, if you liked that, I'm going to give you an amazing offer where you can enjoy not just 20 minutes from the workshop, you can enjoy 2 days from the workshop for $2.95. And then and I say enjoy. Very risk-free, very friendly. And then people watch the video, yes? And then what do you think happens at the end? Do you think it just stops? No, there's another video of me on a white screen saying, listen, I really hope you enjoyed that. By the way, that was 20 minutes from my Inside Out Upside Down workshop. People loved it, and you will too. And guess what? Now you can get it for just $2.95. And we've got different offers. So, and some offers you can get it for free if they pay shipping and handling. We have different offers, but that's what we do. And that content we give away on the opt-in page really gets people excited and really helps their conversion. Can I put your hand up if you can kind of understand that and get that point? Do you want to come down here for a question from Andrew?
Lee, will you share what your conversion rate is on that? People who see the video to the people who sign up to the trial.
Yep, cool, thank you. It varies from traffic source, okay, is the short answer. Some affiliates get a 10% conversion, some affiliates get a 1% conversion, and it massively varies from traffic source. One of the things that we're strongest on is analysing our data and analysing our numbers, and we break everything down. And I can tell you now that, when Marlon Sanders has sent us traffic before, we've had double buy-in traffic. So people have bought from somebody else, then Marlon Sanders has had an offer on their thank you page, they've bought from that offer, and then on his thank you page, they've had our offer. Hans will be thinking that's going to be really high quality endorsed traffic. Yeah, and it converts to like 15%, that kind of traffic. We've had offers, traffic like that from Brian McElroy, double buyers, really good traffic. We've also had traffic from some of our affiliates like Jiupple, who has pop unders. Hands up, what kind of conversion we think, high or low? Why am I saying hands up? High or low? Low? Yeah, really low. So one of the things that I'm always suspicious of, this is a tangent, is when people come out with really absolute figures like my conversion rate is X, because it really does vary from traffic source. Hands up, you can kind of see that. If someone sees a pop under, you're not going to get more than a 1% conversion no matter what your offer is. But if you've got a double buyer, someone who's bought from one place, then bought from another place, then bought from another place, then seen your ad, really you should be looking at high quality traffic, high quality conversion. So we have the opt-in page. We send people to this video where we really give good content. And we have an intro, an outro. Actually, what I should also say there is when people opt in, they don't initially get the content. So they opt in and we take them to a page. We take them straight to the video sales letter, so they go straight to there. So they opt in and they go straight to the video sales letter. And there's some text at the top saying, "Thanks for opting in. Listen, your goodies are going to be in your inbox in 2 minutes' time. But in the meantime, just watch this video, sit back, relax, and check it out." Make sense? Cool. So I'm going to give you an overview of the funnel, and then we're going to break it down for you over the next few sessions. What do you think we do to people who don't buy?
Go back.
We get them to go back. So number three is a prospect AR sequence, a prospect autoresponder sequence. And in the prospect autoresponder sequence, we have some really cool stuff, and I'm going to show them to you. We have testimonial medleys. You see those testimonials you saw at the start of this workshop? We have medleys of them. So we have like two testimonials and me coming on stage saying, look, that's what Daniel thought of our last workshop. Pretty cool. Now let's go watch what Dean thought. And there are a few more testimonials come up and I said, look, they all loved it. And some of them paid X amount to come. But now you can get it for free or $2.95. But don't take my word for it. Here's another testimonial. And we create these kind of medleys. We also have a lot of leaked content. Where we take content from the workshop. We have a strategy called the Secret Whisper Strategy. We taught the last workshop. So we took an excerpt, and in the autoresponder sequence of prospects, we just say something like, listen, how would you like to quadruple your revenue with email marketing? Cool, go check out this free video I've prepared for you. When they go to the free video, what do you think happens? There's an intro of me saying, hi everyone, Lee here, welcome, thanks for clicking the link. By the way, in 2 minutes, you're going to watch an excerpt from my last workshop. It's called Secret Whispers, people loved it. Before you watch it, please watch this testimonial from somebody who attended the event speaking specifically about the content you're about to watch. A testimonial comes up. It tells them about how good the content is. And then I come back and I say, I'm really glad you liked that. How do you want to go and watch the content right now? And by the way, when the content finishes, I've got an amazing offer for you, so stick around. Enjoy. The content plays. At the end of it, I say, look, I'm really glad you liked that. Here's what somebody else thought about it. Bang, another testimonial. Then I come back and I say, look, if you enjoyed that 20-minute excerpt from my workshop, how would you feel if I told you you'd get all $1,997 worth of value for free? And all you need to do is pay the shipping and handling. Or for $1, or for $2.95. Here's what you need to do. And if people don't buy, we play more testimonials. Hansberry thinks that might be a decent kind of sales process for giving free content in an autoresponder sequence. The next autoresponder message might say, listen, I've been telling you about my free DVD or my $1 trial or whatever, and you've not bought. Pretty crazy if you ask me. But anyway, I'm not going to try and sell it to you. Far from it. Go listen to what these guys had to say. Enjoy. Something like that. And then it just links to loads of testimonials. So in our prospect autoresponder sequence, we have some pretty cool stuff going on. We've leaked content, excerpts, testimonials, medleys. And it's all selling. Always selling. So even when we're giving free content, we do it with the aim of selling. Can anyone just shout out, why do you think we give free content in that autoresponder sequence? Why don't we just say, buy this, buy this, buy this? Why do we give free content? Build rapport?
Opens doors?
Reciprocity? It's a word I always struggle to pronounce, especially after 2 beers. I was calling it reciprocity, wasn't I, for years.
And it backs up your word.
Backs up your word, people can see the content. People can see, they get a sample. Yeah, and they can see for themselves. And listen, we also get higher click-throughs. So if I have a subject line, say, look, free video reveals a proven strategy or whatever, we're going to look at some of my subject lines, but it's giving them, we're going to get higher click-throughs, we're engaging people more if it's a free video. But it's not just a free video in isolation, in a vacuum, there's me there as well saying, look, and I'm pre-framing them on the offer. And by the way, pre-framing people for the offer they're about to receive is one of the most powerful conversion things you can do. And by pre-framing, I simply mean telling people about the offer that's coming next and putting them in a positive mind. Very, very powerful. So whenever we give free content, we always have an intro or an outro or both or a medley where we're saying, look, enjoy the content, but hey, if you enjoyed this, look, come and get this. And I'm going to show you exactly how you can do that. Okay, so we have a prospect autoresponder sequence is step three. I should also say that in between the prospect autoresponder sequence, if you go back one, sorry, Matt, we also have an exit pop-up whereby if people don't buy, if people go to the video sales, there we have an exit. And we say to them, look, you didn't buy, fair enough, why don't you take this offer instead? So on our free DVD offer that generated us $100,000 per month, on that offer, the offer was free DVD, pay shipping and handling. Hands up, what might make a good exit pop there, a good exit offer? What might be the number... Okay, let me reframe the question. Just shout it out. What might be the number one objection why somebody doesn't pay for the free DVD? Or doesn't want the free DVD? Don't want to pay the shipping and handling?
Can't wait.
They can't wait. Perfect. Don't pay the shipping handling, can't wait. Okay.
They're scared they might be in a continuity program without knowing it.
They're scared they might be in a continuity program. Okay, good. So let me have three things there. So let me tell you, if you have an offer right now, you would ask yourself, what's the main objections? Why are they not buying? Main objection, bang. Don't pay shipping handling. Bang. Can't wait. Bang. Don't be in a continuity program. Yeah? Buy that? Well, we're going to forget about that one because I want them to be in a continuity program. But what we do is we have an exit pop-up where we say, look, okay, fine. How about you get everything for just $1? We'll give it to you instantly and digitally. Don't pay the shipping and handling. Screw that. Just give us $1 and you get it now. How many people think that converts well? When we launched our offer for point-and-click coaching, we didn't have that exit pop-on for the first 4 hours because we were disorganized. Really, we were that disorganized. When we got it on, we actually doubled our conversion. So as many people take the $1 offer as took the free DVD offer. So if 10 people a day take the free DVD offer, 10 people a day take the $1 offer. Let me ask you this. How long would it take you to put an exit pop-up on one of your offers? A couple of hours, half an hour, a day? Considering that doubles their conversion into the front end of their business, hands up who thinks that's a day well spent. Absolutely. Massively so. Another kind of exit pop you might do is saying, how about you get the free DVD, but you don't have to join the continuity? That's something we might want to look at. Because their front-end buyers are valuable to us in terms of back-end sales. So maybe we're missing a trick. Maybe actually that we're losing a lot of people because they don't want the continuity. And we're not generating those front-end buyers who don't like continuity. Maybe if we had an exit pop catering to those people, that would be beneficial. We'd have to test that and crunch those numbers. It's something to look at. So we have the exit pop, the prospect autoresponder sequence. Okay, what do you think happens when people buy? Sell them something else. All right, let me tell you a quick story. When I first started selling, I thought people who had upsells were scammers. Damn scammers. Trying to sell to me all the time. How many people have ever felt like that about upsells? Maybe not scammers, but many people hate them. Yeah, I felt like that as well. The reason why I used to hate upsells was because of the way people positioned them and the way people did them. Imagine if you buy a product and they say, this product is going to fix all of your problems. It's going to alleviate all of your back pain, this ebook, no problemo. And then the upsell says, listen, that book's a piece of crap. What you now need is the DVD course. How many people are going to feel fed up, put your hand up, and frustrated and annoyed? Yeah. But how many people are going to feel happy if they're presenting your options at a discount? Me and Mark went to Amsterdam this week and we got back yesterday. And I think we look quite refreshed, don't you? For
yeah.
For a trip to Amsterdam. We went on the Monday. We went on the ferry, by the way. How many people have been on the ferry to Amsterdam? How many people want to go on the ferry to Amsterdam? Bad idea. I thought it'd be a really good idea. I thought, we'll get the ferry, we'll go to the bar, we'll have some beer. It was the worst cabaret show in my life. The highlight was the bingo.
Lee is going to Mecca.
Internet lifestyle at Mecca, I'm going to tweet it. And then the next day we were swaying in Amsterdam and I wasn't sure if it was the beer or the boat, I'm not sure, but it's like, not a good idea. What was I saying? I've completely forgotten.
Upsells.
Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you. And
would you like a special cigarette with that coffee, sir?
We're not talking about upsells in Amsterdam. But when I booked the trip, I booked it for DFDS ferries and they gave me all kinds of upsells. Blimey, scammers. You can always tell a scammer by if they offer you upsells, I think. They offered me all these extras. Ridiculous. All I wanted to do was buy a ferry. Do you know what they said? They said you can have a window for €4 extra. Scammers. Scammers. So I took the window, and I thought, that's nice. And
only on the way out.
Only on the way out, yeah. Didn't have a window on the way back. I don't know why. And then they were like, well, you can have a hotel at the Ibis Hotel right in the centre. And we just wait to go and have some fun and just have some beers and stuff. So I said, okay, fair enough. €80. Okay, fair enough. Why did I tick that box? What was the alternative? Was I going to go to late rooms, do some research, save $10, spend half a day working? Sod that. I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Then they said, damn scammers, always taking my bloody money. Then they said, we'll do transfers. Transfers? Scammers. They said, look, for €10, we'll take you to the hotel and back. Scamming me, senseless, by the end of this. So I took it, and then it meant that we just jumped on a bus. Blooming scammers. Otherwise, we'd have had to look for hours for a bus stop. We wouldn't have had a clue. We'd have just ended up settling in a bar by the port, and that would have been our trip. But instead, we got there on time, and it was fine. And even on the boat, they were offering us like upgrades to meals and stuff. Now, how many people feel frustrated by that process or happy that those options are there for you? Put your hand if you feel happy that those options are there. Absolutely. It meant we didn't have to go and search for a hotel. It meant I didn't have to go and search for transfers. It was all taken care of. And I had a window to look at the waves on the sea while I was feeling seasick. It was fantastic. So upsells as the next step. And you're just going to do it right. Look, if you're saying, by the way, this ferry is crap, I'm going to upsell you to a plane because, look, you don't want to get the ferry. It's really choppy. The cabaret's terrible. The bingo's rubbish. Don't get the ferry. Upsell to the plane for an extra 50 euros or... Phew, would I be happy? No. But if they're offering me extra upgrades that enhance my process, when I go to Amazon, I probably spend about 50% of my income on Amazon. I go to Amazon and they're always offering me upsells. Scammers. Ridiculous. But I love it because it offers me extra... How many people have been to Amazon and they buy a video camera and they say, how many people... 73% of the people bought this lead. Would you like to get the lead? Am I going to sit there and think, do you know what? This is bloody ridiculous. No, I'm going to think, I want the lead. Or when you buy a book and they say, well, if you like this book, you might like this book. I value that. So get out of your head right now that you think upsells are bad, as long as you're doing them correctly. Hands up if that makes sense? Absolutely. So you can see the right way and the wrong way there. Then we have upsells. What happens if people don't buy our upsells? Downsells. We have downsells. Absolutely. We have free upsells and free downsells. We make 6 offers post-sale. I used to think that was too many. DFDS made me 8 offers. They offered me a window. They offered me to upgrade to Commodore class. They offered me a double bed. They offered me a meal on the plane, on the boat rather. They offered me transfers, accommodation. So the percentage of upsells, amount of upsells, is almost immaterial as long as you're offering things that people want. We've never had a complaint about the volume of our upsells. That doesn't mean that people actually don't feel upset. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt our retention. But we offer good value. And if people don't want the upsells, what do? They click no. How long would it take to click through 6 upsells? 10 seconds? Okay. Then we have downsells. Then we have a thank you page offer. Can anyone guess how much money we make from our offers on our thank you pages? We sell about $8,000 of automatic traffic blast a month. We only advertise on our thank you page. How long would it take you to put an offer on your thank you page? 10 minutes? If you don't have another product to sell, you can put an affiliate link for one of my products. That's fine. No problem. We'll square it away. Then what happens? Then we have a customer autoresponder sequence. Can anyone guess what the main objective for the customer autoresponder sequence is? Sell more products. Well, actually, the first objective, and we'll write this down, the first objective is to keep the members in the continuity. So the first 14 days of our customer autoresponder sequence is all about retention. What are we doing? We're reselling people and being a member constantly via webinar, via teleseminar. We even get people to ring up a number. Has anyone ever rang that number up that we have on that DVD? How many people here ordered the free DVD? Oh, yeah. We even have a number. 2 people. Everyone's so shy. The first intention is retention. That's all we want. So we just try and keep people a member. What's the second objective from the autoresponder sequence? Selling more products, back end. And we start selling products at a 997 price point. Do you think that selling customers who are happy a $997 product will increase their profits? Yeah? Yeah? Makes sense? Yep. And can I say that we've never added an autoresponder message to our sequence selling another product that's reduced their revenue? In fact, what happens when every time we add an autoresponder sequence to another back-end product? It goes up. So let me just put it this way. We never, ever add another message to our autoresponder sequence where we don't make more money. So even if I sit down for a day and make a sales video selling whatever, and I put one message in for my customers, even if it only sells one a month for another $997, who thinks that's a day well spent if I make an extra $12,000 over the course of the year? Yeah? We could cope with that, could we? All right, okay. We can do that. That's basically a funnel. So let's just go back and recap. And we're going to go through all of this in these different steps. So a funnel is opt-in page, where we give away something massively high value, and we give it away for free. And also, ideally, we want to have intros and outros, leading people and pre-framing people to the offer we're going to sell. You kind of buy that? Immediately after people opt in, we make them an offer immediately. Not in 2 days, immediately. And that offer is with a video sales message for a continuity offer, low, low, low price. Free, or $1, or $2.95, or $9.95 at a low price. And we've experimented with all of them. Low price. As soon as they opt in, bang, offer. If they don't take it, they get a prospect autoresponder sequence where we give them leaked content, excerpt, testimonials, sales messages, where we take bullets out of the sales video and construct autoresponder messages around them, and I'll show you how to do that soon. All of it. If they buy, we give them upsells. And if they don't buy, they have the downsells. And then when they've bought, they have this customer autoresponder sequence that does what? It sells them again on staying a member. We give them phone numbers to ring up for automated messages where I tell them how cool they are for being a member. They ring up this number. In fact, James, would you mind bringing up that free DVD just for a second? We have other autoresponder sequences selling products. In fact, you probably have never seen some of the products on there. So that is the funnel. Now, hands up, who wants to learn how to do all of those steps this weekend? Creating that has transformed my business. Thank you, James. I appreciate it. Has transformed my business and my life, and I want to show you how you can do the same. The first step is understanding, number one, you need continuity. The second step is understanding that's the kind of model you want. Just let me give you an example of one of the free DVDs that we offer. Can anyone see that excerpt? It says, urgent, call this number before you do anything. What happens when we call that number, do you think? There's a recorded message of me saying, congratulations on getting the free DVD. You've got the edge. Stick with the program. In 14 days, you're going to receive even more content and be billed $97 a month. Stick with it. If you want to cancel, but stick with it. Think that helps their retention? Stuff like that? Absolutely. Let me just add this. We launched Standing Start Profits in August 2007. How many people here were a member of Standing Start Profits? Quite a few people, a couple of people. I launched that site to quit my job. I was a teacher and I wanted to quit. And I wanted to have some kind of regular income. Standing Start Profits generated me about £1,500 a month in that kind of ballpark. It matched my salary. I then launched Quickfire Income to try and boost my business. I then launched the Gold Program, then the Point and Click Program, Mention with Lee, all these continuity programs. And every time I did that, I increased my revenue. And every time I did it, I'm not going to lie to you, we hit problem after problem after problem. How many people here have got continuity programs with problems? I know there are some. I can already guess the kind of problems that Daniel's got, and I can already guess the problems that Dean have got, because they're the same problems that I've got. I know it. I know it.
But you learn.
And you learn strategies to overcome them. And really, really, what I want you to take away from these 2 days is I want you to understand that this stuff isn't theory or hype. This is stuff that we're doing every single day. And I guarantee you, you will not find these strategies anywhere else. We're going to show you exactly how to build your business faster with continuity, how to overcome every problem, and I'm going to educate you on problems you don't even know exist. I'm serious. When me and James sat there all self-satisfied saying, God, we are so cool. We are rock and roll. Let's have a beer and let's tell each other how great we are. James, that's the best idea ever. No, Lee, that was the best idea you've ever had. And then when we implemented that, do you think we sat down and thought, but hang on, what about chargebacks? Do you think we sat down and thought, hang on, what about people who call us a scam? No, we didn't even know those problems existed. Did we sit down and think, God, what about 15% decline rates? How many people have experienced 15% decline rates or higher? I know some people have. I have. We didn't even know it was a problem. So what I'm going to do today is tell you what the problems are so you can overcome them and give you strategies and tell you where the opportunity lies. Thank you very much. Hope you've enjoyed session 1 and I'll see you in session 2. Thank you.
Thank you very much.